New Orleans Public Television has a new one-hour special delving into the police and jail consent decrees for Orleans Parish. Change by Decree is part of the WYES series Reshaping Greater New Orleans, Criminal Justice. Marcia Cavanaugh shares some of her findings with WWNO as part of our Criminal Justice Reporting Partnership with WYES. Today, an overview of the decrees and what New Orleans can expect as a result.
A consent decree is essentially a settlement of a dispute where the parties agree to a resolution, present it to the court. That's how Loyola University law professor Dane Cialino explains the what and why of the federal consent decrees placed on the New Orleans Police Department and the Orleans Parish Jail.
The court, after holding hearings and evaluating the fairness and appropriateness of the parties' agreement, then will sign on to the consent decree and make it essentially an order of the court that becomes enforceable through the court's contempt power. The pattern and practice of unconstitutional searches and seizures and excessive force by the New Orleans Police Department and the deplorable conditions at the jail are as a result of years of neglect or worse, we're in a place that put the city out of compliance with federal law, both the federal constitution and various federal statutes.
First, the police consent decree. The city moved to fix the police problems by entering into a consent decree with the federal government in July of 2012. It took another year for enforcement to actually begin with the appointment of a monitoring team. Police Superintendent Ronald Serpas.
We have to do 428 things. We have a unit inside the police department that's ensuring we're following those policies and practices. The monitors are here now. They have been looking at policies and practices. When we turned over the policy and procedure manual of the police department to the monitors in September of 2013, we had just rewritten the entire document. It's over 1,000 pages.
But in its first two reports, the monitor team voices concerns over that rewrite and faults the NOPD for not meeting deadlines to bring the revised policy into compliance with the consent decree. However, the monitors did credit the NOPD with going beyond consent decree requirements in some areas. They had asked for cameras and police cars. NOPD went so far as to add body cameras for patrol officers.
There's no more he said, she said. It is what it is. It's unvarnished. It's a factual representation of what happened.
So cameras should mean less chance for cover-ups. Another concern of the consent decree was called an aorta of corruption, the system for assigning officers for jobs as private security detail. The latest monitor's report praised the NOPD for accomplishing one consent decree requirement to establish a city-run office for the detail system, but it's costing officers income. Police and Justice Foundation President Melanie Talia.
The detail system with the New Orleans Police Department used to be free market. And now, with the creation of the Office of Police Secondary Employment, which was required by the consent decree, the fees for details are now set by the OPSE along with the City Council. So we've gone from a free market to a controlled market. So the controlled market, in addition to some of the requirements mandated by the consent decree, such as officer rotation and advance payment, have definitely caused consumers to go to other law enforcement agencies looking for detail services.
With less extra income from private details, Talia says it's harder to retain and recruit police officers. Meanwhile, NOPD has stepped up recruitment efforts. Its goal is a force of nearly 1,600 officers. Present size is about 1,150. However, a recent report by the Orleans Inspector General suggests that more efficient deployment of officers might eliminate the need to beef up the force as much. The cost for the police consent decree is tagged about $55 million over 5 years. But the bottom line for the Orleans Parish Jail consent decree has yet to be determined. It could cost more than double the police decree. The need for dramatic change at the jail seems to be a given. The to-do list to bring the jail into compliance with the U.S. Constitution is 49 pages long.
I think people would be shocked if they understood how serious the violence is in the facility.
Lawyer Katie Schwartzman filed a lawsuit against the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, demanding action at the jail. That was through the Southern Poverty Law Center. She's now at the MacArthur Justice Center, but remains lead counsel for the plaintiffs.
About 2.5 years ago, we received requests from the family members of some of the kids that are housed in the jail. And those family members were concerned about serious ongoing violence there and injuries that were resulting to these kids.
Our facilities are challenged. You know, the facilities that were built in the 1920s were not meant to model what's happening in today's modern corrections.
Sheriff Marlon Gussman, in 2008, requested help from the National Institute of Corrections. That prefaced the latest consent decree, but Orleans Parish Prison has seen litigation over conditions for more than four decades. The NIC described problems at the jail as pervasive and long-standing. In 2009, the Department of Justice told the sheriff that certain conditions at OPP violate the constitutional rights of inmates. The feds said inmates are not adequately protected from harm and that adequate mental health care, including suicide prevention, was not provided. 3 years later, in 2012, DOJ found that high rates of violence and sexual assault continued. The sheriff doesn't see his department as the main cause.
I would not agree with them that one is at great risk of harm. Certainly, we have a community in a city that has violence in it, and the people that come into jail are the people that are most violent.
Gussman says the city has failed to provide adequate facilities since the prison was flooded after Katrina in 2005. A new jail facility set to open in the fall will meet modern-day standards with better guard supervision of inmates. But critics say it takes more than a building to make a constitutional jail.
Part of it is that the problems are so profound and so chronic and so widespread that there just hasn't been sufficient time for the consent decree to really kick in. And the consent decree really is about long-term solutions. And it's going to take a while to dig our way out of the problems we're in.
Civil rights attorney Mary Howell has dealt with issues at the jail for years. She feels since the consent decree went into effect last year, change has been slow.
The good news is that we do have a monitor who's active and engaged and very knowledgeable. Under the consent decree, finally, after years of asking for this, the sheriff has been required to hire a corrections expert to at least advise him on how to run the jail. That's new under the consent decree.
There have been several hearings before federal judge Lance Affrick, including one that unveiled the now infamous video of inmates doing drugs and brandishing a gun. The hearings have also revealed the jail's lack of a classification system to screen and separate inmates.
We have really not had a satisfactory system in this jail for many, many years. And I think that's one of the real causes for the violence in the jail today, the lack of staffing, the lack of an adequate classification system, the lack of activity.
Since 2006, there have been more than 40 deaths in the jail. Lawyer Katie Schwartzman.
I mean, we had a series of deaths this year that were really troubling to us. A suicide that we think was completely preventable. One of the major components of our case is that the facility has failed to identify and respond to people with mental illness or that are suicidal when they come into the jail, and that unfortunately we see that continuing.
The fact is that our suicide levels, our death levels, all were within national averages.
Again, Sheriff Marlon Gussman.
What can we do? You know, we can do better questionnaires, questioning people. We can do a better job at monitoring people.
The sheriff says he needs more staff, as many as 400 more. The city questions that number. It's concerned about the price tag of the consent decree. City Chief Administrative Officer Andy Coplin.
The argument that we have been making with regard to the jail is that this is more of a management issue than it is a money issue. So the city doesn't run the jail, but you know, courts are about to hold city taxpayers and the city general fund accountable for funding reforms.
But staffing is a problem. At a status conference last month, federal monitor Susan McCampbell told Judge Affrick that the sheriff is not meeting most deadlines imposed by the decree, largely because of staffing issues. The monitors wrote in a report this past February that while they did not expect full compliance already, inmates continue to be at risk of harm, largely because of insufficient staffing. Again, Mary Howell.
You cannot have tiers in areas of this jail that have no guards. You just can't do it. And the thing that has been bewildering to me is still today there are long periods of time when there are no guards on these tiers. There will be like one guard who's responsible for watching an entire floor that has like multiple tiers. And that is an extremely dangerous situation, both for the guards, the people who work there, and for the people who are being held there.
This isn't a consent decree to be average. This is a consent decree to be well above average. So we have to reach that goal.
Sheriff Marlon Gussman says facilities and funding are the key.
What we've been doing is working within the framework of what we have right now. What we have right now, old facilities. One facility built in the 1920s. Another built in the 60s as a hotel or a motel and converted to a jail. We have temporary facilities, tents. So as we get through all of that, I think, you know, the issues of sanitation, the issues of staffing, the issues that we have to deal with are really going to be handled quickly.
Critics say the issues at the jail cannot be handled quickly enough. Meanwhile, federal court hearings continue to determine the cost of the jail consent decree, while the city finds ways to pay the bills. Again, Professor Dane Ciolino.
The whole law enforcement community, involving both the sheriff and the police department, both find themselves under what are becoming financially oppressive consent decrees. But they are consent decrees that are the result of the city's own past misconduct, neglect, and worse. So it's unfortunate that the city finds itself in this position, but it only really has itself to blame for years of malpractice in law enforcement.
I'm Marcia Cavanaugh for 89.9 WWNO and WYES Channel 12.